Did I put the clothes in the dryer?
I hope they don't think I was
sleeping. I need to be awake.
Snacks.
I forgot my brain shut off.
Just sleep already.
When your racing thoughts keep you up at night, it's tough to let go and get the rest you need. Better sleep can help. You might have heard of white or brown noise. There's a whole rainbow of color noises, and they can help you calm your mind, reduce stress, and sleep better, like the green noise you're listening to now. With the Better Sleep app, you can discover more color noises and over 200 soothing sounds, guided meditations, and bedtime stories. High-quality rest is vital to your mental well-being and physical health. Calm your restless mind, conquer your day, and sleep better at night. Download Better Sleep from the App Store or Google Play and start a 7-day trial today. Because when you sleep better, you feel better.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to Come to the Brink. I'm Zoe Flowers, and this is a space for those of us navigating profound life changes like loss, trauma, caregiving, and transformation. It's about what happens when everything you thought was solid crumbles beneath you and you're forced to rebuild. If you've ever felt like you're standing on the brink, this is the space for you. Welcome.
To make love, if we are to love, bailamos con la muerta, we dance with death. There will be flowing, there will be draining, there will be live birth, and stillbirth, and yet born again birth of something new. To love is to learn the steps. To make love is to dance the dance. Energy, feeling, closeness, solitude, desire, ennui, all rise and fall in relatively closely packed cycles. One's desire for nearness and for separation waxes and wanes. The life, death, life nature not only teaches us to dance these, but teaches that the solution for malaise is always the opposite. So new action is the cure for boredom. Closeness is the cure for loneliness. Solitude is the cure for feeling cramped. Without the knowledge of this dance, a person is inclined during various still water times to extrovert the needs for new and personal action into spending too much money, doing danger, making reckless choices, taking a new lover. It is the dumbling's or fool's way. It is the way of those who do not know. At first, we all think we can outrun the death aspect of the life-death nature. The fact is we cannot. It follows right along behind us, bumpity bump, thumpity thump, right into our houses, right into our consciousness. If in no other way, we learn of this darker nature when we concede that the world is not a fair place, that chances are lost, that opportunities come to us unbidden, that the life-death life cycle prevails whether we wish them or not. Yet, if we live as we breathe, take in and let go, we cannot go wrong. So welcome back to another episode of Come to the Brink with Zoe Flowers, and just another perfect introduction from our book that we have been reading pretty much the entire podcast cycle, Women Who Run with the Wolves by Clarissa Pinkola Estes, PhD. This book has just been a great introduction to all these conversations, and I love that she ends this conversation talking about letting in and letting go and what we find when we're in that process. And I just feel like that is a perfect introduction to the conversation that we're going to have with Tracy Collins today.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, absolutely. Welcome to Come to the Brink. So, you know, this is the space where we gather in truth, where we talk about the grief that lingers, the moments that shape us, and the sacred tools that bring us back to ourselves. And I know you're going to have lots of tools with us. You're a multi-hyphenate, you're an author, an entrepreneur, a business strategist, a public speaker, and creative powerhouse. Tracy is best known, or I'm not even going to say best known, because this was a while ago, and I know you've created so many things since Cold Pieces of Work, which confronted human trafficking in Oakland, California, which resulted in you getting a Tracy Collins Day, March 14th.
2015. Yeah, something I don't even talk about much is, you know, just being honored with having my own day in the city of Oakland. So I'm like eternally grateful for that.
Yes.
Yeah, so I created the Cold Piece of Work to speak to the sex trafficking epidemic in the city of Oakland at the time. Like, it was the largest epicenter on the Western Hemisphere for sex trafficking. And what a lot of people don't know, what I embedded in that particular project was the organ harvesting of Black people. And so that was the project that did win me my mayoral proclamation.
I see. So, so just what I'm seeing of your work so far is that you go into those places where people don't always, you know, want to talk about those things. But I would love to hear how you're arriving today. Like, how are you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, just, you know, another beautiful day to be gifted with. So, but I'm well. Thank you. What about you?
I'm well. I'm great. I'm just, you know, doing podcast business today. So that's always good. The other thing I saw was that your work is often around women's rights and taboo topics and things like that. Were you always a storyteller or a truth teller? Like, what was little Tracy like?
Little Tracy was a creative. So I've always been creative.
Okay.
In my early childhood years, my father introduced me to the arts. So I went to ACT in San Francisco, which is American Conservatory Theater.
Okay.
And that was my first introduction to the arts, and it forever shaped me. And I'm so eternally grateful for the fact that he did that introduction for me. So I remember going to acting classes, you know, every Saturday morning he would pick me up, and that was what we did. And it never went away. If anything, that was just the tip of the iceberg. It was a seed planted. So everything that I do comes from a creative place, even if it's in business. And my focus is always women, especially Black women, because I am one. So my focus is always women and what we go through. And I love telling stories that are taboo topics.
Mm-hmm.
So, because if I don't do that, if I don't, you know, tell the stories that ruffle feathers, then I'm not doing my job.
Yeah.
That even spills over in business. So no matter how you get me, I'm definitely going to ruffle some feathers.
I love it.
Even in my personal life.
Yes. We're right here.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
And do you feel like, I mean, I know for me, I've always been the squeaky wheel, always just pointing things out. Were you like that as a little person as well?
I think Well, I've always had a lot of tenacity.
Okay.
So I remember even like at the age of 10 years old, I had a t-shirt that says, I love my attitude problem. And so I wouldn't necessarily call myself outspoken, but I don't fall for the okie doke. So, and I will speak up when I need to. I'm not one that you can't su suppress me. That's just not how I'm built. I'm not designed like that. So it's easy for me to say something, but I'm also not one to waste words because I love words so much and I understand the power of words. So I use my words sparingly and I never ever speak to people who don't listen. If you don't want to hear me talk, I'm not going to waste my time. Yeah.
Oh,
That's always been how I approach things.
did you? That's so interesting. How were you able to tell the difference? Like, if people weren't really listening, did you have a discernment from a little person or?
You can tell when people take information, how they take information. And so just being perceptive with that and very protective of my own energy, I'm not going to give my energy away to somebody who is not coming from a place of appreciation. Because if we're sharing time, space, conversation, whatever, like you're doing the same thing. So I'm respecting your time, your space, your energy. And if it's, I'm a Libra, so I live in a land of reciprocity. And so if I'm in a space and place that's not being reciprocated, then I'm okay with removing myself. And I don't have to make a big announcement. Libras, we just go. And that's just we don't give explanation. We
Yes.
just I would rather you miss my presence.
Period. So same here, Libra sister. Yes, I like to call it the flowers freeze. However, it took me a little bit longer as younger to get to where you are now. It took me a minute to get there, but once I got there, I was like, oh, okay, all right. So yes, I love that. I love that. Yes, I see the little
Yeah, I'm a Libra
lifestyle.
through.
Yes.
I am the last day of October 22nd.
No.
I am a Libra through and through. I love all things beauty. I love, things that are aesthetically pleasing
Yes.
and fairness. Like
Yes.
if my scales are tilted, like be, on the watch because everything has to be fair. You don't have to like me. I don't have to like you. But if it's not fair or equal, then, and that's why I think a lot of my work or all of my work is shaped in women because we tend to get the lower end of the totem pole. And then
Yes.
depending upon what our ethnicity is, then it just goes down further and further in the ranks. So
100%.
I love giving a voice to people who would be considered voiceless in a sense because that's just my job. I mean, I knew my purpose early on was to support women. Like I know that, and I've known that since my 20s. So having 20 plus years of knowing that about yourself, it gets easy to navigate that voice because you know why you're here.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. And so, as you know, this podcast is it's about grief, not wallowing the grief, although sometimes we do, but the transformation and looking at grief as a portal that takes us from one place to another. It's a transition point. And so what do you think if grief is a portal, what do you think is on the other side of that for you?
Transformation, enlightenment, and like, what I hear about grief, or one of the terms that I love about grief is saying that it's just love that doesn't have a place to go. And so in doing that, even just evolving as people or evolving as women, we tend to have a hard time letting go of the past of who we were or relationships with people and living in the potential of what could have been. And there's so much time and energy wasted over there versus going on the journey. And it's not easy, but it's not meant to be easy because on the other side of that, there is a rebirth. So because of my history and my work with women, I often equate things to birth. And so when a woman goes through childbirth, the old her is dying and the new her is being born. But it doesn't even matter if she has had children before. She still becomes or evolves into a new woman every time. So it's really also in that shedding, it's about perception and openness for transformation. And it's more of an enlightenment journey, but it's also like we have to understand that it's okay to grieve. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. And no one can tell you how. The only part that's essential is having an ecosystem around you of support to help elevate you to the next level, however long that takes, whatever it looks like.
Yeah. And so when you do a lot of work with women who are leaders in all different aspects of their lives, I'm curious about how you see grief showing up with the women that you work with or the women that come to your retreats.
So that component isn't necessarily embedded in there.
Mm-hmm.
Do see a lot of is we women in general struggle with the not being a not knowing who they are without being attached to something or someone else, meaning I'm such and such's daughter, I'm such and such's wife, I'm such and such's mother. And if you ask them, what who are you, then it's silence. And then there is a moment in that silence where women are coming to some, or having an epiphany of not knowing. And so in that, there's a the grief of not knowing who you are.
Yeah.
And seeing those light bulbs go off.
Yeah.
And saying, I don't know. That's why I'm so selfish, like in a way of self-preservation.
Okay.
Meaning like, I'm okay with saying,
did I put the clothes in the dryer? I hope they don't think I was serious.
I need to be
about
awake. Snacks.
I have my brain shut. Just off. Sleep already.
When your racing thoughts keep you up at night, it's tough to let go and get the rest you need. Better sleep can help. You might have heard of white or brown noise, but there's a whole rainbow of color noises, and they can help you calm your mind, reduce stress, and sleep better, like the green noise you're listening to now. With the Better Sleep app, you can discover more color noises and over 200 soothing sounds, guided meditations, and bedtime stories. High-quality rest is vital to your mental well-being and physical health. Calm your restless mind, conquer your day, and sleep better at night. Download Better Sleep from the App Store or Google Play and start a 7-day trial today. Because when you sleep better, you feel better.
No, but I am such an advocate for women putting themselves first. Like, I don't care who you have in your life, including your children. Like, I was like, whatever. But if you're not well, then nothing else matters. Mm-hmm. And wellness is a total package. And oftentimes during that particular exercise, they start to realize that they have gaps because they've deprived themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so finding, helping them do a 180 or do even a 360 to find themselves is such a journey.
Mm-hmm.
But I love, I'm the architect on the other side who loves seeing them go through the process.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I know what's on the other side. Like, mm-hmm. I'm such a champion for, like, I love women. So it's like, okay, we birth humans. So there's nothing greater. Like,
yeah.
We birth human beings. So, like, yeah. There's nothing greater. So, you know, coming from that place and having worked with women, been an advocate for women, caught babies with my own hands because of my previous work, been in that space of seeing transformation in real time, seeing the death of in real time, and sometimes even being close to death in real life because of that, my outlook on what we can accomplish if we just go through the process and understand release as a part of the journey is just, we become unstoppable.
Yeah. It's just so fascinating as you're talking. I'm thinking about the excerpt that was read, that chose itself to be read.
That's an iconic book, by the way.
I know.
I'm with the wolves, yeah.
And no matter how I try to open with another book, spirit, no, just go back to Women Who Run with the Wolves. That's just mm-hmm. keep reading from that. But this life, death, life conversation is just, again, perfect for this conversation with you about mm-hmm. with the work that you've done and all these things. But I want to talk about self-preservation because I
too am.
I'm such a me too, 100%. Yeah. And I would love to know how you got there. Like, because Libras are perceived to be like so, I just feel like the narrative is not always accurate for us, right?
Yeah.
People pleasing and peacemakers, which definitely I can be that peacemaker thing. But when it comes to that self-preservation, I will move, I will leave, I will quit a job. Like, I just have always had that in me. Do you feel like that was something you always had, or was it something you had to nurture?
As far as being a peacemaker?
No, it's the self-preservation piece.
Oh, it was in my 30s after I left an abusive relationship and I moved into a house, and this is why I still lived in Oakland. I moved into a house and there was no furniture in there. There was nothing in there. It was empty. It was myself and my two younger children. And we did not have any furniture, but we had, or I had peace of mind. And I remember the first night sleeping in that empty house, we rolled up towels for pillows and had jackets for blankets. And that was the moment I determined that peace is a non-negotiable for me. Okay. And so like the next day I started the process of, you know, healing and recovering and restoring and rebuilding my life. And that's also why I can pivot easily, because I can rebuild anything, like, because I've done it time and time again.
Yes.
But it was, that's when I knew like peace was a non-negotiable. As long as I have my peace of mind, I can do anything because I can think clearly.
Yeah.
And that is a fundamental principle in my life that I live by even still to this day. If it disrupts my peace, it has to go.
Mm-hmm. Are there other non-negotiables for self-preservation?
Oh, no is a full and complete sentence.
Okay.
That deserves no explanation.
Okay.
No is a full and complete sentence that deserves no explanation. Peace is a non-negotiable. Like, I have a whole bunch of Tracy-isms.
A whole bunch. All right. Yeah. I love those too. I think too, there's so many things in society that take us away from ourselves. I mean, I feel like you have to be we have to be very self-directed as women to know who we are and not be lost in titles.
Yeah. Well, that's because, you know, society has taught women that we are here to serve others.
Absolutely.
I literally walk around saying I want a butler. I said, I need a butler. Like, I want,
yeah.
And I just believe that.
Yeah.
We can give and lead and show other women a different way of being that doesn't compromise who they are versus nurturing who they are so they can become who they're meant to be, but with ease. I don't think it's like I deserve to be the sacrificial lamb as a result of just because I'm a woman. If anything, I need to be revered because I'm a woman.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you talked about we birth people, so we deserve everything.
Right.
I'd love to hear about your child. You said your work during childhood. I'd love to hear a little bit about that.
In the childbirth field?
Yeah.
I started out in the year 2000. I started out as a doula, and then it was always a goal to become a midwife.
Okay.
So I trained and then I worked about 2 to 3 years in that field. And in that, I started on the midwifery journey and I studied apprentice and practice midwifery. And I met all of the requirements for my exam. So you have to have, like, you know, study requirements and then, you know, your practical and then, you know, the application of doing the things like catching the babies and all of the lab work, you know, and to be signed off by your preceptor or the midwife you were apprenticing under. And I did not want to do or become a CNM, which is a certified nurse midwife, which is the Western way of doing things. I chose the traditional route, which is traditional midwifery, in alignment with becoming a certified practical midwife. And so I met all the requirements, and then I decided I didn't want to do it. And I didn't want to do it because I saw in real time a white presenting Latina midwife who was being ousted by her midwifery community because of a fetal demise of one of her clients. The baby didn't make it. But anybody in childbirth knows that, first of all birth doesn't end in life. And I saw how the community ousted her. And if she was a white presenting midwife, and here I am, this young 26, 27 year old with two children at that particular time. And I said, if y'all ask her, I said to myself, imagine if, and I've always been the only Black girl in a lot of spaces, especially in the health and wellness field.
Okay.
So what I did was I just said no. And I took everything that I learned as a midwife, and I came back and I started working back as a doula. And I created one of the surefire ways of babies being born in 6 hours or less, moms having their babies completely natural, to the point to where doctors, even at Stanford, were like, we don't like doulas, but we'll work with Tracy. Or, you know, I would be in a birthing room and doctors would come in and they'd be like, oh, our favorite, and talking about me. And I have a mom who's at 9.5 centimeters, natural, no medication, and or,
wow.
So it was just like they wouldn't make a move sometimes unless I said so. Or I remember when I had called an anesthesiologist in to redo an epidural, and he was like, well, no, I don't think so, a white man. Well, no, I don't think it needs to be redone. And I don't know what I said in the moment, but I knew I was pissed. And I knew he knew I was pissed because he walked out, came back in, and did exactly what I said needed to be done. And he did it. And it's not to say that. It's not to say that I was just damn good. And I have learned since that I have the gift of claircognizance. So meaning like I know what is going to happen. I can't explain it. And just trust me that I know. And if anybody who has that good gift in the clairs, like the claircognizance, we don't always want to be right. And we can't explain how we know what we know.
Yeah.
We know. And I know, like I've been here time and time again. And it's not something that you want to always know the outcome of. So my job is always to prevent, is always to end in life. Whatever we need to do to get there, my job is to always end in life. So I say I always operate in the space of life. And it's so funny because my spouse has operated on the other side of the spectrum. But I always, so no matter what.
Wait, what's the other side of the spectrum?
Is death. Like her work, she you know, has seen a lot of death in her work.
Okay. You
know? And so my job, I've seen a lot of life. I bring things to life. I create things. I'm a creator. I'm a master manifester. I literally create. And so it's easy for me to say, do this, don't ask me how I know. And sometimes it is practical application, but sometimes it's not. And if I'm saying, do it a certain way, like, trust me, like I'm trying to guide you down a path of least resistance just to protect you. And it's oftentimes, I don't want to say discouraging, but it breaks my heart when people don't listen, because I always have the best intention. And so I'm starting to get to a place in my life, because I'll be 50 this year.
Okay.
I'm starting to get to a place in my life where I'm saying, oh, well, they'll just have to, life will learn you.
That's it. That's right.
You know, I'm not going to, again, because it goes back to not wanting to waste my time or my breath or my energy.
Yeah.
If you're not listening, I can't help you.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Years ago, I mean, gosh, I might have been 31, and I had gone to this reader, and she said, save your truth for your poetry, or unless people are paying you, because they don't want it. They don't want it.
Yeah. I don't know what it is.
I have a lot of ideas about this, but I think one is the messenger. I think it's, you know, sometimes they don't want the expert to present the way we present. There's a natural inclination, I think, to distrust that we know what we're talking about, even though we're usually correct.
I think now though society is waking up to listening to Black women.
I think it's been a slow crawl, but yes.
It's totally been slow. It's like y'all late because we ain't doing nothing now. But
yeah,
and I believe if the pendulum is starting to swing back.
I think so.
The direction that it should have been, you know, to begin with,
yeah,
and the patriarchal way of existing is dissipating in real time.
100%.
So in that in the matriarchal way of being, you see that the importance of listening to Black women is essential to, or it's vital to survival now.
Yeah.
I think like people are seeing that, but good.
Yeah. Welcome.
Yeah. We live here.
Glad you're here. You know?
Yeah, now sit down and be quiet. Like, it's like, okay, now that you're here, hush, sit down and be quiet.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So you've talked about, you've talked about the Claires. So how do you marry the spirituality, your spiritual knowing, being in these other fields, like the medical field and the business field? How do you make that work?
So when I worked before I sold my company in 2023, it was easier to let that part of me be seen in a sense, because women who are in that field tend to rely heavily on that aspect of, you know, their spirituality.
Okay.
In the business space, it's more of a behind the, it's like, you don't know me like you think you know me.
Yeah.
Like, if you really want to know me,
yeah.
And so it's more of a, that part of me, I don't want to say it's closed. It's definitely not closed, but it comes from a place of heavy discernment.
Yeah.
And so if anything, I let it guide me and protect what I do and who I am and what's being called and to me, as a form of like protection.
Yeah.
And guidance above all else.
Right.
Yeah.
And was that guidance, that intuition, that knowing what led you to leave the States and relocate?
Yeah, it was definitely that. Because in 2022, well, in 2015, I knew I wanted to live a life abroad. I knew that.
Okay.
And so I started positioning my life or transitioning my work to where I could work from anywhere. And it took some years, because I had to remove myself from direct to client in-person interaction versus, you know, it took me about 3 to 4 effective years to not only move from Oakland to Atlanta and then to transition and build the company that I built to really get it online. So when COVID happened, like, we were already online, we had already been there. It felt like the world was late. Like, y'all just figuring out you can work online, but it was really important to own my own time.
Did I put the clothes in the dryer? I hope they don't think I was serious.
I need to be awake.
Snacks.
I have
my brain shut
just
off.
Sleep already.
When your racing thoughts keep you up at night, it's tough to let go and get the rest you need. Better sleep can help. You might have heard of white or brown noise, but there's a whole rainbow of color noises, and they can help you calm your mind, reduce stress, and sleep better, like the green noise you're listening to now. With the Better Sleep app, you can discover more color noises and over 200 soothing sounds, guided meditations, and bedtime stories. High-quality rest is vital to your mental well-being and physical health. Calm your restless mind, conquer your day, and sleep better at night. Download Better Sleep from the App Store or Google Play and start a 7-day trial today. Because when you sleep better, you feel better.
Time and my physical, like, autonomy, like, it's really important. I think it's important for, it should be important for everybody. Like, I don't want to dictate how and where you show up in the world.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to be able to show you a path, like I said before, of least resistance. And so in 2022 is when I started traveling in and out of the states and going from primarily we went to Mexico, but then we did do a trip to Costa Rica. And just because of being a Black woman, you have to be careful where you how and where you travel. And then also being a, you know, in the LGBTQIA family, I had to also, you know, there were some parameters that were put around that as far as being comfortable, being able to be free, not having to worry about my safety in a different way. And so I mean, I love Latin America. I'm an Oakland girl. I'm a California girl. And I mean, I grew up with Mexicans and, you know, Hispanics all around me. And I love the food. Like, you can't be from California and not like Mexican food. Like,
absolutely.
That's just, it's like soul food, Mexican foods like this. So, and coming back and forth to Mexico, I just fell in love with the people. And the Mexican people are some of the most beautiful, hospitable, loving, open, kind, caring people. It's nothing like the Mexican people that we encounter in the States because of their proximity to whiteness or the, you know, that way of life. The Mexican people in Mexico are absolutely different. And Mexico was nothing like what they told us. It was nothing. It was the stark opposite. And it continues to be the stark opposite of what, you know, the United States propaganda is. And so in 2023, we made the transition, and it's been 2 years now. And I see myself in other parts of the world, but I will forever call Mexico home. Like, Mexico will, like, I'll always have a home here.
Okay.
Like, that is not going to ever change.
Okay.
Like, that will forever be.
Okay.
Yeah. And then it also opened my eyes up to the history with Black people, Black Americans, and Mexican people in Mexico. And so it was one of the places that abolished slavery long before the states did. And it was a safe haven. Black people from the Underground Railroad came to Mexico as a safe haven, and we were protected. And so it's not uncommon to walk down the street here in Mexico. And you know, I've been told, I love your people. And just out of the blue, like, or we love you guys. And just to hear move the middleman.
Yes.
The similarities and the mutual love and adoration and respect, you know, that, and we come into this country like humbly, like, because we understand what it means to be rejected and to be discriminated against and to be oust. So oftentimes when we travel as Black people, we do it with humble regard and respect. And so we come into it with a reverence that they don't often get because they're so open and they're so hospitable and they don't want to hurt your feelings and say no. But then it's like, you got your Black cousin. So we're used to dealing with that. So we got your back. And that's what we see here versus in the States. And of course, you know, you can talk about the cost of living or you can talk about, you know, certain other things, but at the end of the day, it's the people. At the end of the day, it's just the culture. It's, you know, and it's just, it's a beautiful thing to walk down the street as a Black person and nobody bother you.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. It was number one on my list, actually, with my astrocartography.
Okay.
I'm here in Canada, but Guadalajara was actually number one for my astrocartography. Yeah.
Mine was Zihuatanejo, so just below Guadalajara.
Uh-huh.
So Guadalajara is in the state of Jalisco. I love Guadalajara. The people of Guadalajara are amazing. I think in the country of Mexico, Guadalajara is definitely in my top three.
Wow.
Definitely in my top three as far as the people, the cost of living, the food. Oh my God. The food in Guadalajara.
Yeah.
You have to lose weight to go to Guadalajara.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Lose weight first. So because you want to give yourself some room.
Yeah. To grow.
You want to give yourself some room to grow.
Okay.
But Guadalajara is absolutely amazing. We didn't choose to live there because it's a huge city and we really want to walk. But it is definitely in my top three. Probably, I would say right now, my top three would be Oaxaca, Guadalajara, and not in any particular order, but I do love San Miguel de Allende, where we are too.
That was my, so that actually was my for that was my choice, but my astrophotography was like, check
well,
out.
Well, it's only 4 hours
it's
away.
It's not that far. Yeah, it's not
yeah,
that
it's
far.
only 4 hours. There's only a 4 hour distance between San Miguel de Allende and Guadalajara.
Yeah, the arts of San Miguel is what made me interested in it. But anyway, so we're going to have a conversation after the conversation.
Yeah.
If you don't mind.
Yeah.
So I want to hear about what's lighting you up right now, because you're doing so much. I know you do retreats. So I want to hear about that as well. But what's lighting you up? What project right now?
That's a really good question. What's lighting me up right now? I just think I try to look at the possibility of creating every day as what lights me up.
Okay.
I want to not look at one particular thing or event
okay.
versus the totality of just being and having the ability to create in every brand new day that
right.
you're gifted with. So what lights me up are conversations like this. I've recently came to realization that I'm not one for small talk. Like I don't do well with small talk.
No.
I disassociate in my brain. Like, I'm not for superficiality.
Yes.
But if you can have enlightened conversation and be in there's so many like-minded people here in SMA. So it's easy to have those kind of enlightened conversations and being in community. There's, you know, out of all of the places that I've been to in Mexico, San Miguel de Allende has the most Black people. And you wouldn't even think it. You just, because they're not seen on social media. If you live here, you know, it's like, it. So when we came here, because we came here, we did a lot of scouting trips. But when we came here, we came here sight unseen. Out of every place we had been to in SMA, I mean, in the country, we was like, I just need to get somewhere quickly to, it's this whole story, but just to kind of give myself a break.
Yep.
So I can think in San Miguel, we were literally pushed in, like God guided us or God has guided us to San Miguel.
Okay.
And so I'm so grateful for that because it is because of that. So what lights me up is my connection with Black women. You know, who are like my sisters, like we will throw them dogs. Like there's two of them off the top of my head who I know, like either you mess with them, we are protective of them.
Okay.
But there's four Black women who are like, I talk to multiple times a week, if not every day.
Mm-hmm.
And had I not left the United States, I would have never met these women, never met these women. And so those are the things. It's like the interhuman connection that lights me up on a daily basis, and the possibility of creating. And I love sharing information, and I love teaching women what I know, because I care about you getting paid. I care about you being well. I care about you being whole. I care about those kind of things. So being able to, like, Creator gifting me those women that come to me, it's like, this is what I care about whole heart. And one of the things that absolutely pisses me off is when Black women mistreat other Black women. Oh, I can't stand that. You want to see the other side of that Libra scale?
Yeah, the other person that lives inside.
That is one of the things that really, like, it pisses me off, because it's not our job to treat others that look like us how the ones that don't look like us have treated us.
Yeah.
If anything, we need to be the stark opposite, because we know what it feels like.
Yeah. Yeah. And how do you do that? What is the work that you do with Black women look like? Is this a part of Lead Her?
Yeah. So Leader is more about business acumen and development. And it's about, and I'm so grateful for Leader. Let me say that. So in creating Leader, so I have been an entrepreneur for well over two decades. And so I understand what it's like to create a business, to scale a business, to fail at a business, to recreate, to grow, to scale and to sell a business. Like, I understand the evolution of business over two decades, and I understand it in relation to women and how we do business and how we show up in the world. So, but because I've been in this space for so long, I understand what it means to look to the right and look to the left and seeing nobody that looks like me, or
Yes.
being the only woman in a space, or being the only Black woman in a space.
Yeah.
And I said, when I created Leader, it was like, I don't want any other woman, Black or white or other, to feel that.
Yeah.
Oh, in creating Leader, it is about bringing other women in business together who are masterminds and leaders in their own world, like leaders in their own field. So these are their businesses, or they're in the C-suite space, to be able to support one another, let them know they're not the only one. If you're having difficulties or, struggling in something, you can bounce it off and have another mastermind in that space for networking, growth, connection, and accountability. And before you release a product or a service out in the world, you can drop it in and get actual feedback of like, what do you think?
Wow.
Would you buy this, in real time? So when I created Leader, it not only is a space of online growth and trainings and things like that, but it's also about accountability, networking, and connection.
Got it.
And so I come in and there, and I give business strategy and development and support, from the back end to the front end, meaning like the branding, the marketing, what is your target market, how to understand who that is and who you're talking to, so you can best make the sale. And then also not and being unapologetic about selling. So removing that stigma, removing that taboo, there we go again with that, of charging your worth. Like you can charge your worth, it's okay. And we're not one for dumbing down our skill sets. My job is to make sure that you are getting paid from your intellectual property. But there's ways and strategies to do that. So that's what Leader is about. And then what I noticed too is that leaders are often unwell. So because I have the background in health and wellness for women, women give ourselves over to everybody but us. Like you give yourself over to everybody but you. And for some reason, you put you on the totem pole. Well, I don't think like that. I believe that everybody around me is to serve me. Like I do. Like even though I'm gonna serve you back, but it's I also
Wow.
believe that you are here for my benefit and elevation and my level of comfort. And if you can't add to that, then there's not gonna be a space and place for you in my life, including my children. I remind them, you are welcome. I was your first home. Like I'd say that to them. And so I swear, I don't know how I think like this, but it just is. And
Yeah.
so I teach other women, so hence the leader retreat. And because I wanted a place for women to be well and whole and to restore back into. So when I created the Leader Wellness Retreat, we have one coming up in February, and then I have another one coming up that I partner with another sister friend of mine here in Mexico. So the one in February, which is the Leader Wellness Retreat, is for healing modalities to be restored, and then also technical application in real time with myself, and then also a therapist who is going to give you the actual practical tools. And then there's other forms of healing modalities to Reiki and massage therapy and meditation and journaling and understanding the power of quiet hours or quiet
Yes.
time
Yes.
and things to help them go back into the world and in their work to feel amplified and supported. So
Absolutely.
that's what the Leader Wellness Retreat is about. And that's here in San Miguel in February of next year.
Okay.
And Black Blossom is the one that I co-founded with another sister friend here in San Miguel, but that one is in Oaxaca.
Okay.
So, and that one is
Okay.
just you come and just you rest and you just be and get fed great food. But the Leader Wellness Retreat is really about pouring back into the women who pour into others.
I see. And the one in Oaxaca, when is that?
It's March, we just set the dates. March 16th through the 22nd, it's or something
Hey.
like that. So
Hey.
they're about 5 weeks apart.
Nice. Okay, good. I'm glad they're
Or
next
4 weeks
year.
apart. Yeah. So there's one here in SMA, and then the second one is this will be our so it's an annual retreat that we do. And that was in Oaxaca, on the coast, on the beach, literally.
Love it. Okay. And what about your art? Are there artistic projects that you can talk about right
Oh.
now?
So working on my second book, the manuscript, which is like, yeah, so my second book, and it's in a different genre,
Okay.
the manuscript, and getting that to come together and not procrastinating on that.
Okay.
Also, I do have a couple other projects that are being shopped around, like as a writer, and because I come from a place of just true authenticity, the industry doesn't necessarily like that. They always like to suppress our voices as women,
100%.
especially as Black women. So
Yes.
the one that everybody is so passionate about gets the most rejection. So, but because it's also because it's that good, it gets the most rejection. But if I were a different creator, it will probably have been seen already. So it's just a part of the process, and I understand that. And I understand great projects are the ones you hear people say, it took me so many years to get this made. So we're in that stage right now,
Yeah.
which I go back and forth about. So fortunately, the people on that team are passionate about it, and they keep me going even when I don't feel like it. You know, or even when I tend to get frustrated or discouraged, because that particular project is meant to not only shed light on the truth, but it's also meant to restore what was rightfully taken.
Oh,
Yeah, so.
hey. Think I'm picking up what you're putting.
Yeah,
I got you. I got you. I got you. So as we start to come to a close, what would you say to a person listening, a Black woman listening, who might be feeling low, who might be feeling grieved right now? What might you say as a words of wisdom?
I would say first be kind and gentle with yourself. You must first give yourself grace. Like, you are the most important person in your life. And so how would you treat a baby? Like, how would you treat that? You would be gentle with that baby. You would be warm with that baby and kind, and you would feed that baby and you would hold that baby. And so we have to treat ourselves just as tender as we would a baby. And in that, allow your where you are right now is where you are meant to be. And I know that sounds so cliche, but I would say listen more than you speak, and don't deprive yourself of the five doctors, which is Dr. Water, Dr. Sunlight, Dr. Meditation, Dr. Movement, and I always forget the fifth one, but I'm sure it'll come to me. But getting out in nature, hug a tree. And I say that to say you will be restored. You will start to gain clarity and know that rest is not a privilege, it's a right. And it is your due diligence in being kind and listen to your bodies, because one of the things that I do know for certain is that our bodies whisper and then they yell. They don't seem to linger in the middle much. So listen. Whispers of your body and giving your body what it needs when it needs it, because you don't ever want to get to a place where your body is yelling at you for healing, because oftentimes it requires intervention to a high level.
Yeah.
And so when we start being gentle and being quiet and being still and meditating, or getting out in the sun and nature and hugging a tree and getting near moving water, not still water, but moving water, we gain clarity.
Yeah,
We
absolutely.
gain clarity and direction. And we start to learn who we are and who we've meant to be and which direction we should go into and what we need to shed and get rid of. But be careful too, because when we start asking for those kind of, shake up my life, come, then be prepared for your life to be shaken up. So just, be careful with your words. So meaning move in intention. You have to move intentionally.
Yeah, I love that. And I always end with two questions. What are you grieving and what are you grateful for?
I will start with the latter, because I always
Okay.
live in gratitude. I always move in gratitude. Like, I'm grateful for this conversation. I received an opportunity this morning that came out of nowhere. I'm grateful for that. Like, because I believe that if, when we move in gratitude, we attract more to be grateful for. As far as what I'm grieving Trader Joe's and Home Goods right now because there isn't one here in Mexico. there isn't. So I do miss those things. I miss Desta in Atlanta, which is Ethiopian food. Like, there are certain things that I do miss about the States. But in totality, I'm grateful for, like I said, the right here, right now. And I don't want to ever like judge myself by the past, just continue to be better. And competition is the one in the mirror.
Period. And so, how can people get a hold of you? And how can people support your work?
I can be found on Tracy Collins on, which is TRACIE Collins, like everywhere on every social media platform. Like, that is the best way. And then my website is tracycollinsofficial.com.
All right. And how can people support your work?
That way.
Okay. All right.
Buy
the books.
You can sign up for the retreats that are coming up. They are women retreats. And one in particular is for Black women only, because we deserve protected spaces for obvious reasons. And let me see what else. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a course coming out, training coming out for Labor Day. Yeah, teaching women how to amplify business revenue. It's important to understand how to diversify revenue within your own business and how to do it in a way that's strategic versus everything all at once. It's like, we're going to give you all or nothing. It's like, no, we can drip things out. So there's a way. So that one is actually releasing on Labor Day. It's like understanding how to do labor differently.
Oh, I love that. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you so much, Tracy. This was so good.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, on so many levels. And so if Tracy's story touched you in any way, which I'm sure it will, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear what you took away from this conversation. I would love to hear about how you feel about the courage to make these big, bold moves that Tracy has made and continues to make. And I'm also curious about what starting over might look like for you in your own life. So, you know, you can always leave a comment, a voice note, a message, because none of us deserve to be on the brink alone. So once again, I am Zoe Flowers. Thank you for joining us. You know, new episodes drop every Tuesday at 7 in the morning. Bonus episodes drop on Fridays or whenever I feel like dropping them. And yeah, I'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hey, football fans. Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.